Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Ever hear of bacon so good it's serenaded by musicians while it smokes? Yeah. Today's episode is that kind of story. Because the secret ingredient isn't just flavor, it's soul. And by the end of this episode, you'll learn how one man took a simple idea and turned it into a national food phenomenon. Today, we're diving into how to build a brand with personality, create experiences customers never forget, and why storytelling beats marketing every single time. Now, William Bill E. Sitt is a nationally recognized food entrepreneur, restaurateur, and creator of Bill E.'s Small Batch Bacon, a brand that's been featured on Food Channel, shipped nationwide, and loved by chefs across America. He built his restaurant in Fairhope, Alabama, but what he really built was a movement around food, joy, and craft. Billy, welcome to Hacks and Hobbies.
I'm happy to be here. I got my hair cut for this. Let's make it awesome.
Absolutely, Billy. Now, it's really awesome to have you. You've got a really powerful story. Take us back before the restaurant, before the brand. Who were you in the kitchen growing up?
Wow. Who was I in the kitchen? I was the guy when somebody said, I'm thinking about doing something. When an owner or a manager said, I'm thinking about doing something, or I want to test something, or show me what's the best you can get out of this, I was the guy that was first in line to make that happen. Just go get them, high energy, wanted to learn every station. Mm-hmm. Didn't just want to be salad boy forever. Yeah. I wanted to become the chef.
So not only were you encouraging others to take their idea to reality, you're also supporting them in every single way that you can. And as far as being in the kitchen, you're like, hey, how can I master every single station, spending the time, spending the effort, spending the passion? Now, you've got decades of hospitality in experience, from Ruby Tuesday state leadership to running your own spot. When did you know bacon was the thing?
Well, bacon making bacon kind of came into my life as a teenager. And then, every year, a couple of times or more throughout my career, I would always make it for myself. And then I went to work for this great company called Ruby Tuesday. And right down the road from them was this guy named Benton that made this incredible bacon, and I loved it. And then I was on some quality teams, and we were always talking about, just the different products that we have and how do we source the best ingredients. Mm-hmm. But when I opened my own place, I knew it was time for me to really fulfill my goal of getting my bacon, not just in my restaurant, but in other kitchens around the country.
Wow, that's really inspiring, because not only did you see that somebody else was providing with you the best, but they had kind of paved the way for what you could also go down and build your own identity and build your own idea. So talk to me, Billy, what was that moment the idea shifted from bacon to Bill E's bacon, a whole identity?
Well, the Billy's came about as a freshman at Ole Miss in a speech class, where the assignment was to create a brand. And my name is William Ernest Stitt. Mm-hmm. And my dad's name is John Williamson Stitt. And he went by Billy because his dad was also called John, mm-hmm. but he went by B-I-L-L-Y. So I came up with the idea of Bill E's, using my first and second initial. And my dad just thought it was genius. Mm-hmm. And did really well in that class. And I just started outlining all these products that I wanted to produce, from Billy's bacon to Billy's bourbon to Billy's beer. Of course, I'm in college, I'm thinking about bourbon and beer a lot.
Sure.
And then you know, Billy's Bloody Mary mix, just all these just really cool ideas. And I knew that I wanted to own my own restaurant one day, but I knew I wasn't ready to just go out and just do it. I needed to work for some great people and I just absorb as much as possible, just be a sponge and take the hits along the way where somebody says, hey, let me show you how to be better. Let me show you how to, you know, to do this and to do that. So, but I would say from a timeline, 13 years ago, I stepped outside of the corporate world and opened my own restaurant with the intent of bacon being a huge part of it.
That's the direction that most people will not go, right? But you're like, hey, that's a brand new direction. That's something that sticks. That's something that you're passionate about, right? And you didn't just make the bacon. You crafted it. You crafted the brand. You crafted all the products that go around it. And then you added something nobody else saw coming. Let's talk about that. What was that something that nobody saw coming?
You're talking about the serenaded bacon.
Absolutely. We need the story. Where did the idea of serenaded bacon come from?
So one of our big slogans / Billyisms is savored by carnivores, serenaded by songwriters. And you could say that both ways. You could say serenaded by songwriters, savored by carnivores. And that's a Billyism. So outside of my four walls of my restaurant, when I opened it 13 years ago, I had all this leftover gear. So I just put a little four walls kitchen in, and I would do my menu testing in there. I would do catering out of there. And I had a little smoker in the corner where I would smoke some bacon. And I would test all these different brands. You know, I would invest, and every single month I would order somebody's bacon that said it was this or said it was that. And nothing ever really jumped out at me. So during all this testing and smoking and making my own bacon, I was right behind the live music stage at the restaurant. So I'd lock myself in there and a singer would come and set up at 5 o'clock and or 5:30 to start at 6 or 6:30. And I hear them plugging in their speakers and their microphones and tuning their guitars and all this stuff. And then they would play and they would either sing or just be a, you know, full band with background music. And I'm just really enjoying what I'm doing. And I realized, you know, hey, this bacon has, like you said earlier, it has some soul to it. It has, you know, this live music going on behind it, and the bacon's being serenaded, and it just kind of kept clicking. And you know, the guy that I had running the restaurant said, man, that bacon's serenaded. And then other people would say it without even being provoked. It just kind of the flow was natural. And so that's where we are now. So I encourage the team while they're in there making their bacon to, you know, if we don't have a band playing, to play some good music. And you know, but the music is for the team and the bacon. It should bring joy.
You know, you're absolutely right. Music is powerful. I love music myself. It just sets you in the mood. It sets you in the state, and it sets the ambiance for really diving in, because we're all now in the same frequency. Now, let me ask you this question. You mentioned, you know, you're behind the live band, working and putting all the bacon together. What does music add to the whole process? Is it the flavor, the ritual, the atmosphere, or is it brand magic?
It's definitely brand magic. I'll go ahead and say that, plain and simple. But it adds all of those things. The atmosphere creates, you know, a level of passion that's a lot different than being in a room where all you hear is a compressor fan going in the background.
Yeah.
The passion just really comes out. And I go back to my days in college where I was the house manager at our fraternity house. And, you know, you would go to class all week. You would do all your stuff. Of course, you're partying at night and you're just being a college student. And you're living your life. But when you knew it was a game weekend and you had a big band coming up, and those guys come in and they roll in the afternoon on a Friday or a Saturday and they're plugging in their gear and they're testing all their stuff, everybody wants to come be around it. So I've kind of created the bacon room to have these windows where you can peek in and see the smoke coming out of the top of the smokers. You can witness my team going in and pulling those bellies in and out of the smokers. You can watch the guys change out the wood chip trays. You can watch them clean. You can watch them organize. You can watch them cure belly with the brown sugar, the heavy kosher salt, and the real molasses. But that music is going on the whole time. And I think it adds flavor, not just to the finished product, but to each ingredient along the way. And the biggest ingredient is the people.
Amen. It's definitely the people that brings it all together. Now, Billy, as this process has been going on, this ritual, this atmosphere that you've created, the brand magic, right? Has any customer or chef had a reaction that made you realize, this is bigger than food? And I'm sure this was a revelation for you in the beginning.
Yeah. So, of course, when we first opened the restaurant, we were buying just regular commodity bacon. I was trying to buy the best I could get, but it still wasn't just blowing my mind. So when I started really, really making it for the restaurant, that's when heads started to turn. And not just regular guests, but guests that own other restaurants would come and eat and talk about the bacon. And people in other industries, from car sales to manufacturing to production to insurance, you know, all these different business owners would come and bring their family and friends and business associates to have a bacon cheeseburger just to talk about the wow factor of the bacon we were putting out there. And I had this one bar regular who was kind of a, for lack of a better word, he was an a-hole. I mean, he was not fun at times, but the guy spoke from his soul. So when he said something to me one day, he goes, your bacon is amazing and your food is really good too, but you're not letting the bacon be the star. And, you know, it hurt, you know, and I was like, okay, next menu change, the bacon's going to be the star. And then I did. And then I had these owners of the other, not just restaurant, but restaurant concepts would come and say, I'm very interested in using your bacon in my restaurant. Hotel general managers, owners, and chefs would come and say, what would be involved if we were to put this on our menu? And that's how it all evolved. And that's where we are now. And the goal is just to get it in the hands of more decision makers.
I love it. You know, as I'm listening to you and the story, and what's interesting is that sometimes the storytelling is what seasons the experience, right? It's all of those things together, people coming in, they're talking about their stories, about their experience, and that's what seasons the conversation, and that's what we love about it. Now, I have a question that challenges the food industry truths. What's one lie that food industry keeps telling that you know is complete BS?
Okay, the complete BS lie going on in the food industry right now. Man, there's just so many tag words used again and again and again. When I see homemade, that always cracks me up. But I guess... it's not really a lie, but
sure.
When people try to separate a corporate restaurant from an independent restaurant, or they want to call it a small mom and pop restaurant, and then they want to insult the corporate restaurant, that bothers me. And I'll tell you why, because that corporate restaurant started as an independent mom and pop restaurant.
Sure. Yeah.
And as they've been successful and done more things, it started to put them in this category of not great. And I've seen it with the Food Network as they've just really crushed our industry by making it so hard on corporate restaurants because they made that a bad word. And that I think that's a lie. I think it's wrong to say that all corporate restaurants are bad because they're not.
Yeah.
Anybody in my shoes would jump at the chance to hire a very well-trained dishwasher, fry cook, grill cook, manager, the whole thing.
I love it, man. All right, let's come back to what lie people have been told to exactly where I want to go next is Now, you didn't just build a food product. You built a feeling, right? You've created a brand that people talk about. How do you decide what becomes part of the story? And you've been doing this, you know, for over a decade. So talk to me about some of those decisions that you have to go through, you know, year after year, day after day, on what becomes part of the story.
The biggest thing for my story is the people. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff that I asked them to do, I've done before. And I knew that if I wanted to have a company and a brand and a product, all of it had to be awesome. But I had to let it be awesome through them. I have to let my managers, I have to let my team members do their job. Now, the difficult part about that is sometimes if you're using a 1 to 10 scale of 10 mm-hmm. being perfect and 1 being terrible, sometimes you got to start with a 4 or 5. Yeah. And then you've got to be able to show them how to take it to a 6 to a 7, and then show them how to get that 8, and then work really, really hard together to make it a 9 or a 10. Mm. And you know, that's easy to do in one little box where it's just you but that's, you know, I want to be open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. And so I have to have everything that I want done through people.
Yeah.
That's just the day-to-day grind.
No, you're absolutely right. It's impossible for any one person to do that much work. And that's where teams are so important, to have that category of, hey, this is what our standard is. This is where we got to meet. And then as you bring in the people that are just getting started, they have the passion and the motivation to grow, to get to that level, just like you did, right? You're a cook in that kitchen. Like, hey, I want to be a chef. How do you become a chef? You know, you got to be able to go through all the stages and level up.
I would never let my manager come in and do my job. I would get offended. I would be like, wait a minute. Why are you doing that? Now, if they wanted to come in and help and be part of it during the training and transition, that's fine. And I would definitely never let an owner come in and just never even came to my mind, you know, that, you know, hey, that, you know, why are the owner in here doing this? That just never was something that went through my mind. And it's a different world now. I think a lot of people are just waiting, you know, you got to lead, you got to show them how to do things. That's fine.
Yeah.
You want people to really take initiative and to be aggressive and outgoing and not afraid to stumble, but realize that, you know, sometimes through stumbling, some good stuff comes out that we never saw before.
Yeah. I love it, man. Thank you so much, Billy, for this opportunity to talk about your brand, how you brought it from nothing to something that's nationally known. And, you know, there's a lot of bacon in the world. Myself, I've never tasted bacon because, number one, I'm a Muslim and it's not permissible for us to eat. But what makes what made yours become unforgettable?
You know, it is the sourcing. You know, we're really, really picky about the bellies that we bring in. Mm. We want to make sure they're raised properly, that the animals are treated right. We want to make sure they could go outside and to play in the clover, go inside to get out of the rain. We want to make sure that they're not just packed full or just tarnished with growth hormones and antibiotics that just don't make sense. We want to make sure that they're fed, you know, great ingredients, you know, corn and, you know, not just a bunch of slop and leftovers. You want to make sure that they're raised properly. Mm. And then the same thing with the salt and the same thing with the sugar. You've got to really, you know, don't just go out and look for the best deal. You've got to go out and look for the best product.
Yeah.
So my raw ingredients, from my bellies to my salt to my sugar, are more expensive than a finished package of bacon that you typically buy. Mm. So a whole lot goes into it. and trying to scale the company, I know that once we scale to the next level, we'll be able to cut 20 to 25% off our expenses, because instead of buying hickory wood chips in 25-pound boxes, I'll be able to buy it by the truckload.
Sure.
That's just one example.
Yeah, that's gonna bring price down, and it's gonna make that experience long last. Dude, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. It was a fun conversation, definitely flavorful for you. Not sure about myself. And I know that we've only scratched the surface, and I might have some other questions in the next episode. But again, thank you so much for coming on and building this beautiful brand for your company.
Happy to be here. Really enjoyed talking. Bacon on.
Awesome. Perfect. Guys, thank you so much for listening in. Bill was an excellent conversation. We learned about his journey. And in part two, we're going to talk about scaling artisanship, building national recognition, and how hospitality is evolving in 2025. Stay tuned, because bacon is just the beginning. Thank you, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.